Good morning, or if you're a Pirates fan, bad morning. Before I even introduce my guest today, Paul Zeiss, who's not really a guest, he's a roommate at this point, and Bob Pompiani, Nelly at the controls, and my friend IT, who ruined Field of Dreams for me forever. I sat down to watch it with my daughter last night. She never wants to do anything with me anymore. She came in, said, I want to watch this with you. We watched it when I was little. And all I could think about was how annoying the wife is because of what you said last week, IT. Glad to be with you again. Before we even get to you guys, I'm going to go on a rant. Strap yourself in, Bob.
Here we go.
Paul, do you have a seatbelt? Strap yourself in.
This is a pre-show soliloquy that Joe has been working on, and I'm sure it started overnight, and it continues to...
Oh, it started at about 3:30 p.m. yesterday, and I'll say this, that the lineup that the Pirates put out yesterday was an embarrassment.
So was Tampa's.
It was an embarrassment to the city.
Which is why they shouldn't have done it.
It was an embarrassment to the city. It was an embarrassment to the franchise. It was an insult to the fans. Here we go. The leadoff hitter, first of all, they sat McCutchen. So the leadoff hitter was Key Brian Hayes, who's 5 for his last 43, has no power, hits 192 against righties, and yet in 49 of his 53 starts, he's batted fifth or higher. He batted leadoff. Brian Reynolds doing great. O'Neill Cruz batted third, having a bad season and an awful month, with a .298 on-base percentage, 2 for his last 9, 9th among 11 qualified shortstops in the NL and OPS, 8th in slugging, strikes out all the time. He has 10 homers, but there's 8 National League shortstops with at least 10 homers, and he's the worst defensive shortstop in the league, maybe the guy with the Reds. Rowdy Tellez batting 4th. He's hot. He's also 19th in HRs among NL first basemen. He's batting 105 against lefties. He stinks. Connor Joe came in and also batted cleanup. He was Mickey Mantle earlier this year. Now he's Connor Joe. He's 7 for his last 57. He has one home run since May 15th. He's made 52 starts in the top 4 of your order. He now has a 7.11 OPS, and now we get to the real good part. Now we get to the real good part. Oh, did I mention that Connor Joe has no extra base hits this month? So his batting average is the same as his slugging percentage. Jared Triolo is 6th in your order. He's still 5th on the team in at-bats. Among qualified players at MLB.com, he has the worst OPS in all of baseball. At 563. Keep that in mind, and then keep in mind that Michael A. Taylor's about 70 points lower. He batted 6th yesterday. Jack Sawinski, Paul, is still in the major leagues. He batted 7th. He's hitting 159 this month and striking out in half his at-bats. His WAR of minus 1.6, which is an overall rating, is 548th in baseball. He might be the worst player in all of baseball this season. Bobby Abreu, he's a point ahead of Bobby Abreu, who the Astros released and ate about $30 million in salary. This team keeps Sawinski and bats him 7th. Yasmani Grandal batting 8th, one of the worst hitting catchers in all of baseball. He has a 509 OPS. He's hitting 184 with a .223 on base, 2 home runs. He hasn't homered in a month and a half and has 2 RBIs and 35 at-bats this month. Michael A. Taylor started another game. Did you hear that, Paul? Michael A. Taylor started another game. He has one home run. He's batting 192 with 28 strikeouts and 5 walks since the beginning of May. He's one of the worst hitters in all of baseball. He has no power, no ability to get on base. He has a .288 OBP. Also, you have the human rain delay at .083. Henry Davis is at 153 with one home run, 118 since he came back from the minors. Aleca Williams, whenever he gets healthy, is one of the worst hitters in baseball with a 525 OPS. Jiwon Bae is at 208 whenever he gets back. Is he back? I don't even know. I haven't noticed. And I hate to break this to you, but Nick Gonzalez is looking more like the guy that got demoted last year than the guy who was a monster in May. This month, he's hitting 239 with a .243 on base. He has 18 strikeouts and one walk this month. He's in a 1-for-18 slide. Other than that, how are you guys? Paul?
Well, I mean, it's a good way to start with a rant because I think you covered all the bases. The only thing I would say is you basically named the whole damn team. I mean, I'm not sure who else.
Know.
I'm not sure.
I didn't
who else
name Reynolds or McCutchen.
I'm not sure who else they could have played yesterday. I guess McCutchen leading off and Reynolds batting second. But you know, to me, there's a couple things that I'll point out that are really, really concerning to me. Okay, O'Neill Cruz. You pointed this out, but O'Neill Cruz is a slash line of 240, 294, 422 with a 716 ERA or OPS. I'm sorry. It's got to be better than that.
And he's your number three.
If he's this unicorn that everyone says he is, it's got to be much better than that. Okay. Reynolds has gotten, you know, super hot. So, I mean, I don't know anyone could say anything about him. If I told you this, your first baseman was slashing at 227, 286, 307 with a 593 OPS and only two home runs. Is there any way in the world you could spin that positive?
No. Not knowing it was a weakness going into the season and knowing they had to find someone to take that spot and they failed.
Right. But we're supposed to jump for joy because Rowdy Tellez had a string of about 8 or 9, 10 good games. Overall, that's what his numbers are.
What are they going to do? Oh, I made a mistake. It's Edward Olivares. He also stinks. His on base is 291. He's the guy who's at 188 with no extra base hits this month. So his batting average is the same as his slugging percentage. It's unbelievable. Bob, in 32 at-bats, he has no extra base hits. Sorry, apologies to Jared Triolo, who, he's just one of the worst hitters in baseball.
So my frustration from yesterday came with knowing they have Paul Skenes on the mound, knowing they have a chance to win a series.
Exactly.
And knowing that Tampa Bay started a guy who hadn't won in 8 starts and had a 6.58 ERA. And then you take some of your best players and not play them. Listen, Andrew McCutchen's a DH. He doesn't have to play the field. He should play just about every day, in my opinion. I don't care his age. Gonzalez is, yeah, you're right. He's tailed off a little bit, but he's still a better option than Triolo at this point.
He's tailed off a lot.
They all have. My point is the failure of this is the off-season moves that were made. And now you're going to try to correct them at a time when it's hard to correct. However, knowing that Skenes is pitching, knowing that Tampa, you mentioned the Pirates lineup. Did you happen to look at the Tampa lineup? I went over there and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, how bad that was. They didn't have a lot of their... So you have a Skenes day, you win that game. You put everything in. They have a day off coming up Thursday of this week, right? I think they do. I don't want to...
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
There's no excuse for that. And that's how I feel about generally all of these kinds of lineups that come up. I realize you have to keep guys... One of the things that Derek Shelton says is he has to get Triolo engaged a little bit. Well, this is not how you don't just...
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You got to get guys at bats, I guess. Okay, but you got to find a better time than trying to win a series on a Sunday with the best pitcher that you have on the mound.
He batted sixth. He has 211 at-bats. That's like one of the leaders on the team is Jared Triolo. What are we doing
here? Well, this is why.
What do we do about it? What does he do about it?
You got to make a deal. And I hear all the excuses.
One deal?
Whatever. I'm saying you got to find a legitimate bat. And I hear the excuses. Here are the excuses. Well, you can't do it now. It's too early. The price is too high. When you get later, the price is it'll come down. But the problem with that, you're going to have 9 teams bidding for the same people you want on your team because there are only a few teams that are going to supply these guys. The rest of them are all still in contention. I say don't be afraid of what the asking price is. They are so – always seems to be really concerned. Oh, the asking price is too high. Okay, go out and pay it. If you think you are a championship team or have a chance in the playoffs, which they've said they think this year is a playoff team, then you go out and make that deal.
I guess a couple of questions come to mind. One is one deal enough? I just named
eight
guys who are horrible, like in the bottom of the league at their position.
The league totally is down. If you look around some of the best players, you look
right,
at averages.
Right, which makes it even worse.
It does. What makes it worse is that you got all this pitching that you got 17 quality starts, as Dan Zangrilli pointed out yesterday, and they've lost most of those games.
I don't even know how to quantify this. Like I want to ask you guys, what position to upgrade? They have the worst catcher.
You have no outfield other than Reynolds.
The worst hitting center fielder, a horrible hitting first baseman, a horrible hitting third baseman, a horrible hitting shortstop.
Right.
Nothing
field.
From second base at the moment. Right field. Like, where do you go here? I guess I would go with two. I want to get two good hitters. An outfielder, and then I don't care.
And
first
you don't
baseman,
care.
And a catcher.
And if you have to give up some of your, quote, prospects that are really,
yes.
Go, so be it.
Are you a believer in the small sample size of 60 at-bats that we saw from Joey Bart?
Well, I was just going to mention him. I'm more of a believer in that than anything else I'm seeing right now. He looks like Carlton Fisk on this team.
I think he's coming back here soon. And if he comes back, maybe he gives them a little bit of something. I mean, here's the thing that's amazing is what a disaster their catching position has been this year. If it wasn't for them picking up Joey Bart off the scrap heap, could you imagine what their catching would be? If you take his stats out of it with DeLay, Henry Davis, Grandal. I mean, I
was trying to look at Grandal's stats and decipher if they were real. He's hitting 184 with a 509 OPS, but at least he has no power. He only has two home runs. He hasn't homered in a month and a half.
I mean, it's absolutely absurd. Henry Davis's numbers almost don't look like they could be real either. 153 with a 503 OPS. But my point is, if you get Bart back, and
118 since he got back.
If you get Bart back,
that's what we're talking about, and I agree with you, but we're talking about Joey Bart coming back and transforming your lineup.
What I mean is then you look and you could probably focus in on outfield and first base as the two areas you need to upgrade.
All right, well, that's maybe the best thing to do, and we're going to hear from Bob Nutting here. We're going to hear from Ben Cherington. We're going to hear from Derek Shelton, who kind of liked the day that he had that horrendous lineup in St. Louis, really didn't have much of an explanation for what he did yesterday. On the other hand, you have, 15 players, 14, 13 to choose from. Who the hell are you going to pick that can hit? Almost nobody. Now, it's partially on him because he cut his teeth in the majors as a hitting guy. And how Andy Haynes still has a job is just mind-boggling to me. You?
Yeah, he's taking on the role of Matt Canada. He's still here, and a lot of people think he shouldn't be. And it does. I wouldn't say I would put it all on him.
No, I wouldn't
because
either.
Derek Shelton has his background.
I wouldn't put all the Steelers' offensive problems on Matt Canada. But
somebody has to do it, and that's the way it works in this business of sports, that you're going to always have to replace a guy in charge. I don't know. All I know is that most of their best prospects – this is not good either. Most of their best prospects in the minors are pitchers. There aren't many hitters who are
I'm looking at the minors right now. There's nobody.
No,
there's Matt Gorski. And that's it.
Well, I would try him even. If that's the case,
that's
bring
fine.
Him up.
And then the guy they got rid of.
Jake Lamb.
No, Andujar.
He's ripping it up in Oakland.
I see him as a desired player at the trade deadline. They got rid of him. What is happening here?
Well, they're going to blow an opportunity if they don't change this somehow, some way, because the opportunity is there. It is. And again, the opportunity wouldn't mean more to me, except that it does because you have the pitching that can win a short series. That to me is the – if you get – the hardest part, Paul – It's harder for them to get in as it is to advance. I think it would be easier to advance once you get in.
Piguero and Palacios back here. I don't even care that their minor league numbers are mediocre right now. Put them back in the majors.
Piguero and
Palacios.
Yeah,
his brother got an RBI against the Pirates yesterday.
The only thing I'm starting to think, Bob, is I keep hearing that, and I kind of have that same idea that if they get in the postseason, they're tough. But in the postseason, you're facing the best pitchers.
Yeah, but they have.
So what's my point is, but what's anybody believe this team can't scratch out? They couldn't scratch out two runs against the tomato can they saw yesterday. What makes you think in the playoffs they're going to be able to scratch out enough runs to win?
I'm just saying.
I agree with you.
Their chances of doing that are better than actually making it.
I agree with you. I agree with you to a point. But I'm getting to the point now where I just can't ignore how bad this offense is.
I agree. But
and it's like
yesterday brought it home.
You faced
although
a guy.
They didn't bring anyone home.
You faced a guy who Tampa lost 8 consecutive starts from.
And was struggling.
He had an ERA up near 6. And you scored one run. And Shelton's explanation for it was basically that, well, you know, they didn't have to use their bullpen the whole weekend, and they've got some really tough guys down there. Well, guess what? You had four innings, I think, against the guy that everybody else has beat up, you know, beat the daylights out of.
You know what? It's time for drastic it's either time to throw it in or it's time for drastic measures, and I vote for drastic measures here. And by throw it in, I mean just go with the guys you got and say, well, sink or swim, which surely means sink. Let's go position by position. You're Ben Cherington. You're looking at the rest of this season. You're still only a game and a half out of the wild card. You have less losses, fewer losses than the team that's in the third wild card. That's the Padres. Catcher. What do they have? What are you doing? Paul?
All they have is hope.
You said Bart.
I mean, that's what you have. That's all you have. Delay stinks.
Well, when is Grandal Henry Davis
stinks.
Coming back?
The guy they brought back up stinks. Henry Davis stinks.
What they brought up Ron Cook's
Ron
son,
Cook,
Grant.
I mean, they all stink.
So if Elias Diaz or Jacob Stallings is out there making a move, huh. Or do you have to prioritize other positions?
I'm more interested in a bigger bat in the outfield. They have gotten no production from two out of the three positions out there.
All right, well, let's go.
Either that or first base. And I think first base may be a little easier to attain than a catcher. How many? You mentioned two guys. Okay. That would be upgrades. Certainly. Elias Diaz, by the way, was one of them once upon a time.
Another guy they got rid of.
Yeah. So
here's what I know about Jacob Stallings. He has an 837 OPS, which I believe, what's Reynolds up to? What's Brian Reynolds up to?
He's in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. He might lead this team right now. Jacob Stallings.
But the two guys you're talking about, actually three who were made available, it looks like, are all former Pirates, Joe. They're all former Pirates.
I know. That's and the irony here. Because they drafted a guy number one overall to be their guy, and you can't even figure out his batting average. It's so low. Now, Diaz is hitting .303 with a .791 OPS. However, I think I'm with Paul here because you have to prioritize, and you, Bob, because you can only fix so many positions. I wouldn't say no to either one of those guys, but I'd probably go with Bart and Grandal and give Davis one more shot here. Maybe.
They can't give up on Davis this quickly. They just simply can't. Right now. I'm just saying down the road.
I'm talking, what is the plan right now for the rest of this season?
How long is Davis out? Do we know? It was 7-day concussion.
It seemed optimistic the last we saw, but you never know with concussions. So I guess I'm sticking... If Bart can come back soon, sticking with what I have at catcher because I can't fix every position.
Right, that's my
and
take.
The horrificness of the catching position isn't as bad as what I have at other positions, if I can say that. But I wouldn't turn my nose up at a good deal for Stallings.
If Stallings,
or Diaz.
Yeah, if they brought in Stallings or Elias Diaz, which is in what kind of a alternate universe are we in? That we're sitting here talking about Stallings and or Elias Diaz.
The kind where Joey Bart is your savior.
As being the answers to a problem the Pirates have.
First base. What are you doing at first base? I'm sticking with Rowdy because, again, the horrificness all around makes me say he's hot. He's having a really good month. I'll bring in bats, but I'm sticking with him right now.
What are you talking about? Right now.
No, I'm sticking with him. You can only fix so many positions.
For the whole rest of the year.
Yeah.
See, I'd look to change that. I would be willing to talk to anyone about it who has a legitimate power-hitting first baseman.
So you're
the problem with the Mets, I mentioned Alonso a couple of weeks ago, and I only did that because he had twice turned down the Mets offer. So he's a free agent with nothing attached to him.
Yeah,
so
but the Mets are playing well now.
I know that's the problem I'm going to say. They have emerged as a better team, and now they're right in the thick of this, so they can't afford to lose him. But can they afford to lose him for nothing as a free agent? Would they do that? You know, I don't know. All I know is if it were available to me as a rental player for him, regardless that I have to pay $8 million for the rest of the year for him, I'm doing it.
Same as catcher for me. I realize it's hideous. But right now I'm looking to add two sticks, and if I have to go with Rowdy for the rest of the year, he's hot now. He's having a really good month.
He is, but look at his overall numbers.
I know,
have two home runs.
I know. So where? All right.
So you think that's going to continue? You think the pendulum is going to continue to swing in his direction?
His recent history tells me he's going to hit home runs.
But his recent history is a small sample
Rowdy.
Size.
Yeah, it's a couple seasons where he had 48 combined homers.
So you think he's going to channel his inner Milwaukee Brewer self?
We're talking all relative here. We haven't even gotten to second, short, third, right, center.
Well, I mean, you can't fix them all.
But
he might stink less than Sawinski or Michael A. Taylor. That's what I'm saying.
But your platoon of Connor Joe and Rowdy Thowdy.
Connor Joe is worse than Rowdy right now.
Because he was exposed as a regular player. I said that all along. When he's a good guy to have. I like him. He's a good player.
I don't.
But he cannot be a regular player.
Bob, do you know what Connor Joe is hitting off right-handers this season?
Not good, I know.
There's mostly right-handers, I don't need to tell you. His overall number right now is a 7.11 OPS. It's barely in the top 100 in baseball. And he's 7-for-57 this month. And against righties, I don't even remember what his numbers are against righties. Paul, what would you do? Look for a first baseman?
I would. And I would try and make a deal for one, but I agree with you. You can't fix everything. And there might be a couple of, like, if I had to prioritize it, I think outfielder is more pressing need.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they're easier to acquire, although you're going to have to pay for them.
And while I, you know, here's what I would ask you, Joe. Does Joey Bart give you enough faith? Based on what you saw in 60 at-bats? Because if he does, if you think, okay, I mean, I think that then catcher comes after first base.
He doesn't.
Okay, so
no,
then catcher,
but
to me,
catcher might still come before first base, but neither one comes before the outfield.
I'd say outfield is first, but my thing is, if you think Joey Bart can continue to do what he did for 60 at-bats.
I don't.
Okay. Then you're saying basically what? Catcher is more of a priority than first base? Because the rest of that catching, what was that thing that was it Dennis Eckersley called them?
Hodgepodge
of nothingness? DeLay, Grandal, Ron Cook, what's the other guy? Henry Davis? They're bad.
Ron from Cook's Forest, I think that was, Bob. How about second base?
I'm okay with Gonzalez. I'd play him every day.
Okay.
I want a set lineup mostly.
All right.
What are you going to tell me that you're... I mean, what options do you have there? That, to me, is a lesser problem than first catcher.
It's been an enormous problem this month.
Not as much as outfield hitting. You should expect your outfielders to hit more.
You should see the numbers this month.
I'm talking about him specifically.
Gonzalez is hitting .239 in June with a .243 on base, 18 strikeouts, and one walk.
Okay.
So as I said, he's been looking more like the guy they demoted and why 60 at-bats, which Paul
mentioned. So you're willing to tell me that you're going to shy away from him, and yet you're going to believe in Rowdy Tellez because of what you saw recently?
Did I say I would shy away from him?
Well, you pretty much made that argument.
No. I would continue to play him because, again, second base is another position. Right now, this month, Rowdy Tellez is way better than...
But he wasn't last month or the month before or whenever.
The month before, nobody was even...
But I'm saying, I don't mess with that. I'd rather focus on outfield, first base. Those are the two positions that should supply power to me, and I need power.
I know, but just so we know, they're getting nothing from second base this month either, the whole month of June. They've gotten nothing from second base. Shortstop, obviously you stick with Cruz, and then third you stick with Hayes. What else are you going to do?
But you got to get Hayes. I know he has a back issue that seems to flare up once in a while, and it really probably hurts him.
He's their most disappointing player to me.
I would say Henry Davis is my most disappointing, but he's in the conversation.
Hayes, I would agree with him. I thought Henry Davis was going to have a good year for them. I thought, you know, he's going to really, really, you know, without Andy Rodriguez around, he's clearly going to be the catcher. And
I know, but he didn't have a good year last year. Hayes did.
I was optimistic that year two would bring
something. So was I, but I thought Hayes, some people had him as a low-key MVP candidate. He had three great months last year, and he's horrible. He's horrible, Bob.
Well, okay.
And yet he keeps batting fifth or higher. In 49 of his 53 starts, he's batted fifth or higher.
See, I also think these multiple lineups every day changing doesn't help. I would want to get to a point where I fixate myself on what I think is the lineup I want to go with 80% of the time.
But then we'd all be ripping him for going with the same lineup the whole time.
But then you're saying it's a player issue. then we have, you know, you have a situation where you're not having enough talent. You've over-evaluated the talent you have in your system, plus those you brought in as free agents.
That's the real kicker, is after 5 years of tanking, essentially, who's knocking on the door here that's a big-time hitter? I'll answer that. Nobody. Nobody.
You don't believe in Tamar Johnson or whatever his name is?
I mean, trade him.
He's 11. He's in Class A right now.
I still would trade him. He's the biggest piece that maybe somebody would want. And if I can get what I need, I'll do it.
It's frightening to look at.
I'm in the now. Aren't you guys in the now moment? This is supposed to be the time after 5 years of this.
Yes.
That they're supposed to be, and they have the pitching to do it.
They're depending on the Connor Joes and the Edward Olivares's of the world. And Yasmani Grandals and Michael A. Taylor. These are the guys that he brought in.
Right. You're not a believer in Matt Gorski?
I'd give him a shot, but not now. I mean, why would you bench Rowdy now when he's actually hitting?
Well, but Gorski's a center fielder.
Oh, is he? Playing center field? Then put him in there.
I would do that now, and I also would.
14 home runs, 44 RBI, OPS of 896 in Indianapolis. How about Matt Gorski?
Well, they had Jake Lamb, who had the same, if not better, numbers, and they wouldn't bring him up.
Except Davis was hitting there, and so was Bay.
Yeah. Okay, so go to the outfield, because I think that's your biggest glaring
error. Reynolds and everybody else stinks.
Okay, then you have two positions to fill.
Yes.
You won't be able to do it, but you
Why
can.
Why not?
Well, you can bring in, because I think first base is still my number one issue. I want to get.
No. So we all agree on at least two sticks that they can bring in.
Yeah.
Well.
Center field is just a glaring, like, empty
I think
space.
And he was a key guy. He and Henry, two guys that they really thought were going to be the two young difference makers, both young enough to do it. Sawinski had 2 years of pretty good numbers in home runs. I would have thought this year would be even better.
Paul?
I would say this. They need outfield help first and foremost. That's their biggest need, outfield. Followed by, I know this is probably going to be the death of me or whatever in terms of like my mentions and people yelling and screaming at me, but I believe more in Joey Bart than anything at first base. So I think first base is my second biggest priority.
I agree.
Things have become so bad that so many people are locked into delusions that Connor Joe is good, that Nick Gonzalez has been nothing but great since he got back. It's like we don't even see the month of June, how he's tailed off. And that we're all, and I include myself with Paul, we're all waiting and marking the days until Joey blanking Bart comes back to the lineup. That's how bad it is. That's how bad this has become. And I blame one man more than any other, and it's not Bob Nutting. It's Ben Cherington. Ben Cherington,
he's responsible for this.
He hasn't been here for 10 minutes. He's been here long enough to make big draft picks, to build up the farm. Every trade they make, whenever the Pirates make an offseason trade, one of the lines is from across the country, across the baseball world, oh, they just picked up him so they can flip him at the deadline for prospects.
Right.
That's one way they've gotten prospects. They've made trades for their good players to get prospects. They've signed international prospects. They've had prime position for five straight years in the draft, every round, not just the first, including this year when they're going to draft ninth. What has he done with it? What has he done with all that? Where are all the hitting prospects?
And here's the thing. If you don't do it that way, then you better hit on what you do in the offseason. You can make a pretty good argument if you looked at all the guys that Ben Cherington has signed in the offseason. Most of them are one-year deals. Most of them are guys who are either reclamation projects or guys who are coming off bad years, expecting them to turn it around. You've wasted a lot of money in that department. This year, very much on top of the list. When you look at all the guys, how much money have they spent on these guys you just mentioned? From Michael A. Taylor's.
I mean, not
Grandals.
Much, but the money, he's wasted.
You could take that money instead of sprinkling around to a bunch of reclamation projects and putting it in one person. You know, a legitimate guy. We mentioned Rhys Hoskins last offseason as someone who was available. I would rather have him than what they got with Tellez. They weren't willing to move up, I guess, in the pay department there. At some point, you have to put it, instead of $3 million, $2 million players, get me somebody who actually has a legitimate. And, of course, people will bark back and say, well, they don't want to come here because, okay, then overpay. Just as I would say overpay to make a trade.
That's exactly what people said when they got Marco Gonzalez and Martin Perez. And Aroldis Chapman, actually, for that matter.
Yeah.
Three trade pieces at the deadline.
Right.
And guess what? It still might be true.
Absolutely.
You know, I get the resistance. Are we really going to start saying Nick G is what he was last year because he's going through a slump? He was always going to have one, just like almost every player in baseball does at some point.
If he can
That's not what I said. I said he's looking this month like the guy last year that they demoted. In other words, add it all up. He was great when he came up. He was okay when he came up at first last year, and then he tailed off miserably like he's doing for the entire month of June. In other words, Nick Gonzalez remains a major question mark moving forward. Anybody who's convinced that this guy's absolutely the answer has lost their mind. That's what I'm talking about. They're so bad. The whole team is, the lineup is so bad that people look at Nick Gonzalez and want to make him into Joe Morgan at second base. I don't know. He might be really good. I loved what he did in May. In June, he's been horrible. So I don't know what they have moving forward. That's not shredding him. That's being realistic.
But if you're going to choose from the people you have, I still would go with Nick Gonzalez.
Because
there's nobody else that I would put there ahead of him.
And if I had to choose somebody to run a race right now among people in this office, it would probably be who? Nelly? I mean, you know, that's not saying Nelly's Carl Lewis.
Again, but if they don't make a deal, what are you going to do? You have to play him.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Just don't be surprised if he has 18 strikeouts and one walk like he does this month.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. If Nick Gonzalez finishes the season, 280, 311, 450, 770 OPS, would that be good enough?
Great.
Because that's where he's at right now.
It is.
Here's what's concerning to me.
And it's all been trending down.
Here's what's concerning to me about Nick Gonzalez. If you are him, your batting average is 280, well, 279 and some change. Your on-base percentage has to be better than 311. Would you agree with me?
Yeah. I mean, the overall numbers are good, but he's struggling badly.
He strikes out too much for what he is. But you're absolutely correct on this point. Because the rest of the team is so bad, you know what I mean? Because
it's like they haven't watched the whole month of June go past here with him. And he got off to a really hot start, but I will agree with this. He's a guy that's off the table right now as far as their biggest problems overall. They've got about six.
Yes, that's pretty much what I have been saying about him. I would not mess with that position only because I have so many other problems that I think need to be solved if I can solve them.
I mean, really, it's amazing if you think about it. Their best lineup probably does have Rowdy Tellez at first, so you can use Connor Joe and Wright. Because their outfielders, Sawinski is horrific.
Taylor
is horrific.
Except Connor Joe is 7 for his last 57. Yeah,
but my point is...
Oh, no.
Now, what I mean is, again, I know what you're saying, but Connor Joe is still, like, you know, he's still basically Barry Bonds out there compared to Michael A. Taylor and Sawinski, and even Oliveras for what we're talking. I mean, Edward Oliveras,
he's a disaster. I told you, another one-year contract. Hits this whole month.
I mean, basically, you have Reynolds.
Yeah.
And
okay,
that's it.
Who's your next outfielder? You're not putting McCutcheon out there. Like, he's your DH.
Nobody. That's why that is absolutely priority number one.
My point is your best outfield offensively that you can put out there includes Connor Joe and Oliveras.
Yeah.
That's what's scary.
That's debatable. I might rather have Sawinski than Oliveras at this point.
Connor Joe is batting .219 against righties, by the way.
Yeah.
You'd rather have Sawinski than who?
Than Oliveras. Again, we're talking who would win a race, Nelly or Harry Callis. No offense, Nelly. I think you would win that race. I mean, this is a disaster.
It was a joke.
4-1-2 928-9370. That brings us to Bob Nutting's comments, Ben Charrington's comments, and to a list of available players at the deadline. This is a disaster, Bob.
No, it's not. It was a good first segment. We had a lot of interesting debate topics there on the
not
Pirates.
Not the show, the Pirates lineup.
Oh. I meant the show.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Let's hear what Bob Nutting said on Friday. I found this noteworthy that he spoke. We can talk about whether we believe him or not, all of that. But I don't know about you, Bob. But in all my years of covering him and ripping him, I don't remember. I can't remember the last time he addressed a baseball matter before the trade deadline. Do you?
No. And again, I told you last night on our Showdown show, I think that was just because he was at this Sheetz press conference to announce
the
sponsorship.
He's been other places.
He hasn't elected to speak. And quite frankly,
so
it's interesting.
So you do find it notable.
Well, I find that he was... Yes, I find it notable, but it took that to get it, because if you had asked, probably you wouldn't have gotten it. But he also, without being prompted, brought up their lack of hitting, which I thought was very significant.
Simply the fact that, I mean, he easily could have not answered any questions about baseball, not made himself available other than a statement on the Sheetz patches. Mm-hmm. But he clearly wanted to, and he had to know it would come up. And so that in and of itself to me is notable, which is different than saying, I believe him. Let's go to it.
Which quote do you want? I have five of them.
Whatever you think's the best thing.
Okay. Bob brought up when they will add. Here's Charrington on when the Pirates will add.
Is there a time frame or maybe just a window of time where you guys will have a better idea of what you will know what you're doing at the deadline?
No. I think this may be a year where the deadline is a date. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all sure that we won't have opportunities well in advance of the deadline. Mm-hmm. I think we should be prepared to move early. Mm-hmm. I think we should be prepared to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. And so I know Ben has that flexibility to look across a broader range of alternatives, options, but also timeline of when it makes sense to strike.
Bob?
All right, so again, it sounds like he's frustrated like a lot of people. And the key comment there was when it's time to strike. Okay, what does that actually mean? When it's time to strike? Because I think time is of the essence. If you're looking at that as a trade deadline, like they're saying the time is now. And I know, generally speaking, people think, well, the price is higher now. Okay, so be it. If you wait, you may not get who you want, because guess what? There are going to be other teams involved, and maybe they're going to outprice you at the time. You have time on your side right now. If you wait until the deadline in July, that's a whole nother month wasted. If you believe you can help your offense now, do it now. That's just what I would think.
I agree. And if you have to, I mean, if you want to make a deal for, let's say, Lewis Robert Jr., you're going to have to outbid teams anyway.
So whether it's now or whether it's a month from now.
It's a hitter's market, first of all, this year, which makes it very unusual. Offense is suppressed around baseball. And if you read anybody who covers the sport nationally, normally pitching is at a premium and the most wanted commodity at the deadline in the days leading up to it. This year, that's not the case. It's hitting. So if you're the Pirates and you're out there, you know, at the flea market looking for the best bargain and looking to spend 11 cents, that ain't going to happen this year. You know what else might not happen is having Jones, Skeens, and Keller healthy and at the tops of their games in the same season. For all we know, it'll never happen again. If you're lucky, it'll happen four or five more times. So why don't we split the difference and say two or three more times you'll have those three healthy and at the height of their powers. This is a year right now. If you have to pay extra, do it. Jim Rutherford used to trade early because that's the best time to do it. Why? Because you get the guy before anybody else.
So I once asked Jim Rutherford about that philosophy, and that's exactly what he said. He said, I'm willing to overspend for it.
Yes.
If I can get him before anyone else does, if I think it's going to make a difference in my team right now, we're trying to win now. And in this case, they may not be, you know, you could laugh and say, oh, okay, they're not, they can't win a championship. What they can do is win a playoff series with what they have.
Was he laying down the gauntlet to Ben Cherington with some of these quotes?
Well, it sounds like, again, he brought it up without being asked, which I thought was, of all the things that happened in that press conference, to me, that's how, that was the most significant thing.
Nelly, what's your second best Nutting quote?
Sorry, I said Cherington before. It is Nutting. This is him on the window with pitchers.
You have Paul Skenes, you have Jared Jones, you have the three guys that you signed to long-term deals. How important is it to maximize what could be the window of opportunity here over the next 5 years or so?
Incredibly important to do that. I think that is, you know, it's conscious. It's been put in place. I think that we absolutely have, you know, Mitch intentionally covered over that time. We have Paul intentionally, you know, in that window. And Jared's been tremendous. To have that front of the rotation is an opportunity we have to take advantage of.
Yeah, but the key is now. I heard that quote. I hadn't heard the question, which put it in the frame of how important is it to maximize the next 5 years?
He said incredibly important.
I would say how important is it to maximize the next 5 weeks, yeah, or even the next 5 days is what I would say. So, yeah, let's get moving here, Bob. Lewis Robert, does he interest you, and would you overpay for him? Yeah, for me, yes and yes.
Yes and yes for me, too, because he's young enough. He's signed. You know what the price is. You may not like the price, but his potential is what intrigues me. I know he's gone through, like a lot of guys this year, you know, big-time slumps, but the potential and what he's done in the past must be taken into consideration.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Fiat. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, there's another name that our friend Noah Hiles, the Noah Constrictor, Bob, he put out on Twitter and told him an MLB executive suggested this guy. And I looked at this deal, and I would do it in less than a second. A millisecond. It would take me a millisecond to get this deal done, but that's almost why it doesn't make a lot of sense. But we'll talk about it. This is the Noah Constrictor. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Paul had to step out for a brief moment. He'll be back to join us. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Mostly sunny with a high of 81. Give us a call. I mean, this was a rare case of Bob Nutting, I think, wanting to get a message out there and talking like a fan. He's saying what everybody else is saying. It's very unusual. Does it mean anything? I don't know. Maybe not. But the fact that it happened and the fact of what he said was very unusual.